The Disney Nerds Podcast is sponsored by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time on rides at Walt Disney World. Be sure to visit TouringPlans.com and use discount code 15NERDS.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 118 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This week we have a conversation about the 2015 predictions that we made just about a year ago today, as well as some of the changes we've seen, what is coming in 2016, or at least what we think is coming in 2016. And with me, I have Sam. Sam, how are you?
I am doing great, Jen. Hope you're doing well as well.
Yeah, it's been a while since we were able to get on here all together, and we're so close. Ed actually is unable to make it, but I also have Jimmy with me. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. A little disappointed that we got so close to all of us being here, but we're still going to have a good conversation, I think. And we have Ed's predictions for 2016 kind of called in to us, so we'll be able to chat about those as well.
It's amazing that it's been a year already since we did those 2015 predictions. Yeah. We're sitting here on 2016, but it has been a remarkable year of changes at the Disney parks. So I thought, if I could, let's spend a few minutes sort of reminiscing 2015, the year it was, some things that changed, and see if anything kind of stuck out to you guys. So it's a little difficult to find a list of everything that changed. So I did my best to keep a list during the year. So in no particular order, this is sort of what's changed in some of the parks down at Walt Disney World. So let's start with the Magic Kingdom. Why not, right? And new in 2015. Now, remember, at the beginning of 2015, we were coming off a new Fantasyland and all types of new things happening. So a lot was happening there. Some of the things that we gained at Magic Kingdom in 2015, the new hub with the new gardens and the new castle turrets, which pull that castle into the courtyard. The Sunshine Tree and Citrus Swirl switched places. Breakfast is being served at Be Our Guest. Hocus Pocus was added to the Halloween party, which is pretty big at the time. We get some new menus at Tortuga Tavern and at Pecos Bills. The Skipper Cantina opened, which we heard about at D23. The Haunted Mansion gift shop is rolling along. Sunglasses Hut opened in Adventureland. I know Jimmy's been in there a few times. Yeah. Pandora opened on Main Street, USA.
Been in there we a few also, times, not by necessarily my wanting to.
Sunglass Hut for you, but... Got it.
Kim drags me in Pandora every day we're there.
I understand. And along the same lines, we should mention the fireworks are now sponsored by Pandora.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of interesting.
Which may have saved wishes.
It could have. It definitely extended it.
Yeah. Picking up a sponsor will do that for an attraction or a show.
Refurbishments to Magic Kingdom, Under the Sea. Got a new lighting. Pirates had a pretty big refurb, and it looks great after that refurbishment. I think Carousel of Progress went through some refurbishments that a lot of people haven't talked about, but I think there's some really good new figurines in there, new audio animatronics, and the sound's great, and the lighting's outstanding. They also redid the caves back on Tom Sawyer Island.
Really?
Which is interesting. They did. Not a lot of people do, but it's new paint job, and it looks really good back there. And we lost a few things in the Magic Kingdom.
I haven't been on Tom Sawyer's Island probably in 3 or 4, maybe 5 years. So I'm probably due for a little boat ride over there.
Due for a boat ride and a little run through the caves.
Sure. All right. It's on my list for March.
Perfect. Two things we lost at – I missed the Peter Pan queue. That was huge in early 2015.
Huge, yeah.
Big deal.
And really cool.
almost make you want to wait in line for Peter Pan.
That's right. At least a couple times.
Me and my wife skipped the fast pass to go wait in line just to see it.
Any of that stuff stick out, Jen?
We talked several times about the hub, how we weren't quite sure how it was going to work out, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It's so fun to see, people kind of just hanging out on the lawn, and I think that's really cool. I would love to say the Skipper Canteen. I haven't been there yet. I'm sure that's really exciting, and I'm hoping to get there soon. Yeah. So I'm not as committed to that one, but definitely really cool to add another super themed restaurant. So I can't wait to try that out.
So before we leave the Magic Kingdom, and by the way, I agree on the hub. I absolutely love the new hub, the circle that goes around the old hub. You would never know it wasn't there before if you haven't been to the Magic Kingdom in a long time. And when you can tell is when there's a parade or there's something happening and you can still get around the hub. Yeah. You don't have to worry about cutting through shops or taking some of these old shortcuts. It actually allows you to flow, from Casey's all the way back to wherever you'd like to go while things are happening in the hub. Really cool.
And you know what? One of my favorite parts about the new hub, and Sam, you actually pointed it out the last time we were all there, is that when you're in that second hub during Wishes, the music sounds fantastic with those new speakers. It's incredible how much better it sounds than it did before, now that they've got all them brand new speakers up right there.
Yeah. If there's only one thing that I kind of like go, there's not as many benches as there once were.
Yeah.
They seem to have gotten rid of a lot of the benches where you used to be able to just sit and kind of watch. Those are sort of gone.
Interestingly.
But that's all right. The hub looks great.
Interestingly, as much as I like to sit and people watch and kind of take everything in, I don't know that I ever really sit on Main Street. It's just so busy. But maybe the hub kind of takes care of that, but then the benches are gone. So kind of cancels one another out.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So sit on a bench, I'd prefer to kind of find a little side street or a little back side, some a little off the beaten path to grab a bench and a popcorn or something.
So also at the Magic Kingdom, we lost the Tomorrowland Arcade, which closed and has not reopened as anything. And that was all the way back in January. And we also lost the Pork Shank at Gaston's Tavern. That is gone.
I did not know that.
I did not ever. I've never
obviously
had one.
And I know, I didn't miss it. About it.
but as far as the, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the space where the Tomorrowland Arcade was. But I certainly won't miss that. I mean, you can get those types of arcades in just about any one of the value resorts.
Your local mall.
They all have arcades or the local mall. Or,
do you really
want to spend your park time shoving money into, a pinball machine? I guess the only thing it was good for is if you had a group of people going on Space Mountain and you had some people that didn't want to ride. But you know what? I think a better use of your time would be going hop on the TTA and taking it for a loop around before I'd go stick money in a video game.
I agree.
Last time I was in there, it was because it was raining.
Yeah.
Well, when we talked about it, I didn't even know it existed. So.
And there was no other good place to be. And honest to goodness, that was it.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Let's head over to Hollywood Studios next, which there's lots of things happening at Hollywood Studios.
And nothing at the same time.
That's right.
Everything, you're sort of right, but can you believe a year ago they had just announced the hat was going away?
Right.
It's absolutely amazing that it's a year later, the hat's gone, and I tell you what, where it was a year later looks beautiful. I know there were some struggles in getting us from there to here. It was in different stages of dismantlement for a couple of months, and then they built the old Star Wars weekend stage, and that looked like the old one. But now it looks so good. And the next time you guys get down there, you're going to realize it is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I love it. I think it looks fantastic.
Can't wait to see fireworks like that.
I didn't hate the hat like some people did, but I'm not sad to see it gone either.
Yeah.
Before I get to more things that we lost, there's a couple of things that we gained at Hollywood Studios, including the Starbucks. That's brand new. And at the end of the year, we got the Club Disney in the back, which is pretty cool. And, of course, new Star Wars, including Launch Bay and some new things over at Star Tours, which is really cool.
I feel like Starbucks was there in the end of 2014.
It was early 15, but yeah, it feels like it.
Okay.
The new Great Movie Ride updates with Robert Osborne. I think that's pretty cool, pretty significant.
Good job with that.
I think last year we were talking about it, but it hadn't quite happened yet.
You know, the only thing I find interesting about that is the cast members almost seem kind of awkward. Because most of it's narrated by Robert Osborne. So they like interject here and there, but it's kind of like, I don't know. It seems like something they don't know when to interject and when not to. And I don't know. I guess it'll get better as they keep going through it.
We got official word that Toy Story Mania is being extended to another track, which is great. Anything to reduce that queue is a welcome sign, right?
Sure.
For sure.
There's also some pretty cool attraction merchandise for Tower of Terror. I don't know if you guys have been down there in a while, but that's in their shop. There are lots of things there.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, talking about the expansion of Toy Story, you lost the Pirates of the Caribbean thing there.
Yeah, Legend of Jack Sparrow.
Due to that expansion, which I don't think it was anything special, but it was something, you know, just one other thing to pull people out of lines.
Let's see. So, yes, we lost Legend of Jack Sparrow. I'll go down some more things on the list here. We lost Malt, Sweat, and Cheers played their last set.
Yeah,
the end of the Osborne Lights. We lost, and we didn't know it at the time, the last Star Wars weekends came and went, which I am personally a little upset about, even though I know we're getting lots of Star Wars and Star Wars Land and all types of things coming. There are things that Star Wars weekends had built over the years that are going to be lost. And here's what I'm talking about. Things like the 501st Parade. I think we may have seen the last parade. The Stars of the Saga, which were the events where they invited people in, like Frank Oz, that would talk to the audience and be interviewed by James Arnold Taylor. I don't think we're going to see those things anymore. We lost all of those experiences. Jedi Mickey, Darth Goofy, Stormtrooper Donald, those guys are gone. And we had heard rumors of that. And we got confirmation after Star Wars Weekends ended that was the last one. So there's a lot of things. If you have a Star Wars Weekend guide map, go grab that and take a look at all the events that they used to have in the premiere theater and all of the events that would happen around Hollywood Studios.
You think Jedi Mickey and all that's gone for good?
They announced it was, yeah. That's really sad.
Jedi Mickey's done. The classic Disney characters will not be appearing in Star Wars costumes.
That makes me sad.
I wonder if that means merchandise, too.
Merchandise, another story. I'm sure they'll say that. Who knows?
Yeah. Just not the characters themselves in the park.
Right. We had a Frozen Summer in Hollywood Studios. Did anybody notice that?
I heard a rumor.
Yeah, exactly. I did walk through there. That was good.
I know Ed tried to make it, but he couldn't.
Frozen Summer wasn't bad. It is what it is. Then, of course, here right at the end of the year, the end of 2015, we heard some announcements on the closing of the Comedy Warehouse, which is the premier theater. They opened that for a short run during the holidays. The Cars meet and greet, the Phineas and Ferb meet and greet, and Pizza Planet is down for refurbishment as opposed to down for good. So lots of things changing over at Hollywood Studios, and I'm sure a future show when we talk about all of that.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me, I think, is the Osborne Lights. Such a fan of all things Christmas and Disney, and I do hope that comes back at some point. But yeah, that was. I mean, there was obviously a lot, quote unquote, lost from there, and we all know why. And it's gonna, you know, make sense when everything is changed. But I was disappointed by that one.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were, including myself. Even wrote a blog that said they'll be back, but without the name Osborne. I think it's a wordsmithing thing.
And that's fine.
But at the same time, I now with these latest announcements, I don't know that Streets of America will be there longer.
Mm. Good point.
And by the way, there were two windows that showed up in Streets of America this past year that I don't know if you guys knew about. One of the windows was the Osborne Electric Company, which was a tribute to the Osborne Lights. Mm. Which had pictures of the lights as they appeared in Little Rock and as they appeared in Residential Street and on Streets of America.
That's really neat.
Kind of cool. And there was also a window back there for Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, Gold's Pawn Shop.
There you go.
Which is fantastic. I stood in that window and just looked at all the neat stuff they had in there probably for 15 minutes.
I don't know if those things will be back or if they'll move them, but they were definitely cool things that were there for part of 2015 anyway.
So let me ask you this. When you were going through all that and we talked about Star Wars and Star Wars Weekend going away and you said no more 501st. So do they need the 501st at this point, or they're just going to have cast members?
That's a great question.
You know what I'm saying? So the 501st is a group of stormtroopers that comes in and does that for Disney. But, I mean, if they're expanding this, are they just going to have cast members that are stormtroopers and they don't need the 501st anymore?
Well, they're going to have Disney cast members that are stormtroopers that are in character, that are playing more of a role than just marching in a parade, right?
Correct, yeah.
And we already see that at Launch Bay with some of the First Order troopers that are down there, and they're already doing some of that, marching through and interacting with people and, you know, move along.
Well, they definitely, they acknowledge that very, very specifically at the expo, that you won't see cast members, you will see residents of these various planets working at the spaceport or whatever, I'm forgetting what they called it, but you will see people, you know, of all different species and all different, you know, backgrounds working there, not cast members. So that's really neat.
It is. And so far, it's been awesome. All right, let's move to Epcot real quick. How about that?
Sure.
Unless anything else at studios?
I don't think so.
Epcot, how about mulch, sweat, and cheers? What was your reaction there, Jimmy?
Yeah, man, that's terrible. That sucks.
Yeah, it was good.
That was one of the things that, you know what? You know, I don't think we ever, like, intentionally looked at the Times Guide and went and found them. But, I mean, that was kind of the cool thing about it is when they pulled up, you know, you automatically kind of stopped and watched them for a while because it was such a cool show. It was one of those things that, you know, almost like the quartet, the Barbershop Quartet and Magic Kingdom. You just, you know, when they just pop up or the, you know, they do all the little shows that just kind of happen, Jaminators, all those things are kind of cool. I hope they replace that with something.
As do I. And who knows what the future holds for the studios. It's going to be a great couple of years. And I think I said that last year about Hollywood Studios.
You know what worries me is that they get rid of Streetmosphere characters.
That would be sad.
It'd be very
They're still
sad.
There.
I know.
I mean, in everything that's happening, nothing has ever been said about Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Boulevard.
Well, and I was going to say, they kind of populate an area that's not really going under, really. There have been some minor changes with the Starbucks and the Villains in Vogue shop has changed now. But for the most part, that street has kind of been left alone. And it's really stuff more toward the back animation courtyard going the other way.
Yeah.
So hopefully that gets left alone because I think they bring so much to the studios.
So switching over to Epcot. Quickly, if I can, some of the highlights. Flower and Garden got bigger and better with an extended time and added more food. And guess what? They get it again for 2016, which is kind of cool. There's a new cultural display in Japan. Soarin' is getting an extension. One of the predictions from last year. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah,
Captain EO came back and then left again.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer still hasn't seen it.
I saw it one time, one obligatory time.
This time when it came back and left again?
No, like when
in
it
2015?
Came back. When it came back the first time. No, like got whatever,
it,
two
it,
or three
it.
Years ago.
Food and Wine Festival celebrated its 20th anniversary with the Chew.
We were there.
The Disney Nerds podcast was there. Absolutely. Innoventions West closed up completely, which was kind of interesting. We got new animatronics in Mexico, which was sort of, wow, that happened. I happened to be there when they did it. But the story behind these guys in the attraction, the three Caballeros, original from the Mickey Mouse Review that opened up at Magic Kingdom in 1971. These are the characters that were in the Mickey Mouse Review. Kind of cool. They also hung a very big no climbing sign on Mexico itself.
Yes, they
oh
did.
My goodness.
That is absolutely true. That is true.
Some genius thought it was a good idea to climb it.
And record it and put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Which is why the sign showed up.
I don't know if he recorded it, but somebody recorded it. I mean, today, if you do anything ridiculous, you can bet it's going to get recorded.
Yes.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Jimmy. When I know that when Mulch Sweat left studios, you weren't real happy about it. How about when the Lumberjacks left Canada? Did you have the same reaction?
I wasn't quite as broken up.
Neither was
you
I.
You know what? I never.
Lumberjacks are gone.
I never watched the show other than a clip on YouTube that you may have put. I think you posted it.
Yeah, because it was one of the first shows.
One of the first shows.
Happened to be there. Yeah.
That's the only experience I had with the Lumberjacks when they actually were setting up and about to do a show, and I didn't even have the patience to sit and watch it a little bit. There was something definite. I was on my way to Rose and Crown and couldn't be bothered by Lumberjacks.
Yeah. Baymax started doing meet and greets in Epcot.
That's cool.
Towards the end of the year. I thought that was pretty cool, too. I actually thought we were going to see him over in Tomorrowland in the old arcade, but I was...
That'd be a good fit, actually.
There's a lot of room back there behind that wall in Magic Kingdom.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be a good fit. It would suit that area. Yeah,
you're right. Sorry, misunderstood you there.
Yeah.
So a little bit of stuff at Epcot, not a lot. Obviously, the investment dollars are going into studios. Although,
I was about to say, not just studios, but
switch to Animal Kingdom here, right? Yeah. One of the big things that opened there is the Harambe Market.
Harambe Market's beautiful.
It really is.
It is fantastic back there. We didn't go. I mean, we walked through the little sweet shop. There was no poop. No. I know Jennifer was excited about the poop.
Go back and listen to the poop show.
It was such a controversy. It's not there. People are offended. They're not offended.
People love poop.
It tastes like poop.
There's boycotts of the poop. But the whole area is really, I mean, it's fantastically themed. It's really cool.
It really is.
And there's a new quick service back there, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's all part right in the market. That's where they have the, I forget what they call them, but they're basically they're kebabs, and I'm thinking not the corn dogs, but it's like a sausage corn dog.
I forget
what they call it.
Yeah. Ed, actually, when Ed was there with his daughter, he went and ate there. We didn't eat there, but we did go walk through the whole little area. And it also is a good cut through when you're coming off of Kilimanjaro Safaris.
I think that's key to the entire design because you remember going through Asia there and squeezing through to get to the safaris with people exiting. All the people exiting are now on the other side of that wall, and it's opened up a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
It's a good logistical move.
New entrance to Animal Kingdom. So when I say entrance, I'm talking once you walk through the oasis and you come across the bridge to where the Tree of Life is. They've really opened up that entire area. They've added new animals to the Tree of Life. The Riverside Depot, which is a brand new gift shop, is on the right-hand side. And, of course, the Starbucks is not far from there, too. But that entire area has been completely redone. While construction walls are still lots of places for Rivers of Light, which, Jimmy, you might get to see when you're down there.
I was looking, and Rivers of Light, and actually I just did the 2016 training thing for what's new for travel agents.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rivers of Light and Frozen Forever in Epcot.
Those are two big things they're pushing?
And they say spring 2016.
Got it. So that's
I'll be there. I mean, end of March through first week of April. So you can't. That's pretty spring.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
We
also, for the first time, are starting to see Pandora rise from the Avatar land. Rise from. You can start to see it. And in fact, they acknowledged it, and there's some construction walls inside of Animal Kingdom with concept art hanging on them, which is really cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
It still seems so far away, though, but it's getting there. We got stuff happening.
Yep, be here before you know it.
Anything else cool in Animal Kingdom, Jen?
I'm super excited.
I know that's
about,
your park.
I'm super excited about Rivers of Light, but it's obviously not there yet. But it's really fun to see all of the construction. That it definitely felt really real the last time we were there. So that's
what about nighttime safaris? That's cool too.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that's probably going to happen pretty close to the same time. You figure they can do nighttime. They can get set up for nighttime safaris pretty quick.
Yeah.
But if you're going to keep the park open, you know, that's, I bet that's going to all launch right about the same time.
That'd be really cool.
And riding Expedition Everest at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little different experience. It could be different.
Yeah. It will be. You won't just know. When you're in the dark, you don't know where you're going. Now you won't know.
Well, and think about this. Think about
I don't think I've ever done that. I don't think I've ever ridden that at night.
I don't think, I mean, how often are you there at night?
Yeah. Well, it's got to be when it gets dark early, but they're closing
early.
They're
open until like 8.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's yeah. So I'm almost positive I've never ridden it at night. So, and I was thinking how much better you could see, like, when you go through the room with the Yeti in there. Because most of the time when you ride it, by the time your eyes adjust from being outside to going inside,
you're right.
You're past it. So if you're riding it at night, your eyes will, you'll have that night vision ready, and you'll be able to see a much better pic.
It could be pretty cool.
If only it worked. I mean,
yeah, right.
hey, there's a blinker.
Think about how different Thunder Mountain is at night compared to the day. It's like two completely different attractions. So could be interesting.
Absolutely true. All right, let's go to my other category here. Other, I have that the Polynesian Village Resort, a brand new lobby, and more importantly, Trader Sam's.
I love both of those. You got things. That? The lobby and Trader Sam's.
Great stuff. Richard Petty driving experience closed. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And it is now a parking lot. Well, not completely, but it's gone. Next time you're on a Disney bus headed that way, if you look, it's gone. It's not there anymore.
It's crazy how quickly.
It is nuts. Lots and lots and lots of stuff at Downtown Disney. In fact, now it is Disney Springs. It's amazing how many things open down there, from the Co-op, which opened back in March, Superheroes Headquarters, Jock Lindsay's, Morimoto Asia, the Boathouse, the food trucks, the Star Wars Outpost is now what used to be D Street. So there's an official Star Wars store down there now. It's amazing the things that have happened Downtown Disney. Even an exit ramp off of I-4 that goes directly into the parking garage.
That might be the best change.
That is incredible. So from I-4 straight into a parking garage without needing to go on the World Drive or make a left, and that's only going to get better down there. I think Disney Springs has a ton of things ready to roll. And on a different kind of note, no selfie sticks. We were banned from bringing selfie sticks into the into Walt Disney. I know, in 2015. You got to leave that at home now. Nothing you can do about it. And as I wrap up sort of 2015, you have to mention the fact that it was Disneyland's diamond anniversary and the 60th anniversary. And I was lucky enough personally to be there on the 60th anniversary. Just amazing. Jen, I know you made it out there. You have to. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, and D23 happened with so many announcements, like Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land and the Skipper Cantina and Shanghai and wow, the things that are coming. It's going to be amazing. So along those lines from D23, some of the things that we are confirmed that are happening in 2016. So this is officially announced by Disney, right? More Star Wars in Hollywood Studios. We know that. Rivers of Light, talked about. Nighttime Safaris, Frozen Ever After, Epcot, a Frozen character meet at Epcot, Downtown Disney or Disney Springs is getting STK, the Edison Blaze, a town center with tons of new shops, Raglan Roads having a St. Patrick's Day festival that looks bigger than they've ever done before, Tiffin's is coming to Animal Kingdom, and Club Villain is coming to Hollywood Studios. So lots of cool stuff coming in 2016.
Absolutely. Well,
seems like it never stops.
Yeah, that's a lot of things that happened in 1 year. And we were talking a little bit before we started recording how last year we had so many predictions and so many conversations. And this year it felt like we kind of already know what's coming. And I think it just is because it was an expo year. So we got all of those official announcements. You know, we could have talked more about, oh, I think they'll announce Star Wars, or I think we'll, you know, this will close. But really, we already know all of that stuff. So it should be a different.
Finally, we know.
I know,
because
right?
We've been predicting Star Wars forever. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Sam, do you have any more things that are from 2015? Because otherwise I have a very quick...
I don't. That's everything I have.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, that's everything I have, and I thought would do that, and hopefully it was quick enough to get through what's changed in 2015, because I think it's cool to stop and think a minute, because when things happen like tickets increase and everybody starts to complain about it, wait a minute, look at everything that happened.
Yeah.
There's lots going on, and there's so much coming into the future, but based on that, we still love to speculate, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I was listening to our show last year, and we probably could get off on tangents and talk about these things. So we'll hopefully not. But we did not do very well last year. We had five of us on our prediction show in January of 2015. And so we had about 11 predictions.
Yep.
New monorails, Main Street Electrical Parade leaving, announcement of a new DVC, an update for the Disney Wonder.
Anna, can you believe they did nothing?
No. And Anna and Elsa moving to Norway, DCL opening an itinerary from New Orleans, the announcement of the studio's name change, which all five of us were adamant we would hear that. We don't know what it's going to be, but we'll definitely hear the name change, which there was like no more conversation about. Wishes going away, a new Soarin' video, which was announced, and so we're close on that one. And then the...
Close enough.
Yeah,
we're claiming credit for that.
Like a half credit. Let It Go being part of the Rivers of Light, which maybe it will be, but we don't know yet.
I forgot.
That was just Ed's hopeful thing.
That's right. Yeah. So that's one thing that's super timely, and it's really funny because the conversation last year started, well, this is a really timely conversation with the hat coming down. And once again, it's a timely conversation with the announcement this week of the water tower, the Earful Tower at the studios coming down, and then rumors of, is it going to move? Is it going to go to Disney Springs? So we talked about whether it would be the icon of the studios, and we kind of have an answer now, but again, we didn't actually predict that. So it looks like we got maybe like half of something right. Now, some of the conversations, you can go back and listen to that. I think it was like a January 3rd show number 65, if I'm remembering correctly.
There you go.
And, some of the conversations we got really close on, you know, oh, but maybe this will happen instead. So I don't know, guys. I'm hoping we do a little better this year at bringing up some things that might actually come true. So we'll see.
So, you know, that's so much stuff from last year, and you bring up the memories of that show. And it is crazy. I remember talking about the hat and the Earful Tower. And I think Ed had the best point. You can't see the Earful Tower anymore.
Except
the Batlock tour, you can't see it from the park. Right. What can you see from the park is the Tower of Terror. You see it everywhere. Right?
Yeah.
My point was there is no Batlock door. So when do you ever see the
Earful Tower? You don't.
Can you even see it at all at any vantage point?
Not from the park. No, I mean, you see it when you're driving.
Not from the park.
Outside the park.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I can tell you where I last saw it from. It was during Star Wars weekends, when there was a shop in the loading area for the old backlot tour. They had a store back there. And if you peeked through the temporary bushes, the tower was back there.
Gotcha.
Wow. Who would do that?
So that you can obviously see it back.
Who would peek behind a barrier during a Disney World event? Come on.
I don't know anyone like that. I had a good camera with me and got zoomed in and got a very nice picture of it. And I'm glad I did, because it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Hopefully it gets moved.
Yes. I was going to say, it's not an official prediction of mine, but I, you know, somebody, and it's hard to say whether this is like rumor or someone's wishful thinking that gets turned into rumor, or, you know, how these things start. But I think it would be so cool as part of Disney Springs with their whole story of, you know, a village, and it's perfect. I mean, a village needs water. So granted, they're on a huge body of water, but they need clean water from a water tower. So I would love.
Yeah, you need water pressure.
Well, one of the buildings. I mean, one of the things is it's not just a village; it's Disney Springs, which it's a water bottling company.
Right,
that's the theme.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah.
Maybe it will pop up down there.
I would love that.
That would be cool.
And then everyone can say, "Wow, that's such a cool new tower that they built."
I did see a Facebook group like Save Earful Tower.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys should join up with Save Off Kilter.
Yeah, I'm sure there's
it's
one
just,
for every
it's not gonna happen.
Save every. There's probably a Save the Lumberjacks group, however big it might be.
Right.
I can understand that, and there's some things that I'll get passionate about. But I mean, when's the last time you saw it? I haven't seen the. That's kind of my point. It's like they could have taken it down and not told anybody. And I wonder how long it would take before.
I mean, it's been technically gone since they closed the backlot tour, because you can't really see it.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about it last week, Jimmy, which is crazy. This is the day before the announcement. You and I are recording a show talking about the 2016 T-shirts and how the Tower of Terror was the icon on it, and we speculated what's going to happen to the tower.
Yep.
And next day, it's gone.
Crazy.
All right, now don't say anything about rides I really like. If that's the case,
we won't. Well, I got so. Can I go first?
Yeah.
I
have what a is? Lead yeah, absolutely.
Pipe. I have an absolutely lead pipe lock on a prediction for this year.
All right.
Okay.
So if I'm calling Vegas and I'm laying down some coin,
lay it down. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
This will be the last summer that you will be able to go into the Hall of Presidents and watch Barack Obama.
Oh, you know what? That is, I like.
Bam.
Pretty probable there.
This is the one attraction that gets refurbished every 4 or 8 years. And by the way, 8 years ago, we weren't doing the show, but I was just as into Disney as I am now. This was the first time that a sitting president recorded their voice for the Hall of Presidents.
I remember.
So that is his voice.
Yeah, I remember.
It's his suit. He donated a suit and a tie, that's
cool.
Remember?
That's cool. Yeah, I remember them really like talk. It was almost like a news story outside of Disney.
I saw some like some video footage of him while he was actually recording, and they're kind of directing him on.
You got it. So my point is, if you guys are listening, you're nerds, and you don't go into the Hall of Presidents that often because you've seen it before, and you're headed down this summer, go and watch it. It's worth it. This is the first time where, if you haven't seen it yet, it's the first time where George Washington speaks. It's the first time where sitting president speaks. And they've really done a lot to bring that show not to so much be about the country, but to be about the men that are the presidents of the United States.
Very cool.
It's really cool. It's worth going into.
Well, there
that's
you go.
The prediction that I was – did any of you guys have that?
No, but we've hedged our bets that we'll get one right. Thank you.
Okay. There you go.
We'll be officially better than we were this last year. Jimmy, do you have one?
All right, who's next?
Jimmy.
I do, actually. I did have a pretty neat fact, though, about the Hall of Presidents, and I was looking for his name. Sam, when you talked about George Washington speaking.
Yes.
David Morse does the voice for George Washington in the Hall of Presidents, which is interesting because he played George Washington in the HBO miniseries John Adams.
Hmm.
I remember that vaguely, yes.
And he did a fantastic job in that. So when that came out, the miniseries came out before they refurbed Hall of Presidents. So I actually own the miniseries, and I thought it was fantastic. I'm a big American history buff, so to go in there and sit and after watching and really getting into this miniseries, hearing George Washington speak with that voice was
it probably was felt like neat. George Washington recorded it because you'd seen the
miniseries. Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
well,
really
that's
cool.
Who I tell you. Yeah. We know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So I predict for 2016 there is a change coming to the dining packages.
Mm.
From your lips
you don't
to
have
God's ears. I know I'm not
so,
popular opinion, but
I know and I've read from more than one person who have been to Disney recently that they're sending out surveys asking people opinions on a lot of things, including the dining plan, and asking about extras to the dining plan, such as alcohol and
what?
Adding things like sea racers and stuff like that as part of a package with the dining plan.
Well, and that being said, about 30 minutes before we started recording, I got an email about an offer, which you probably have seen come across your news, Jimmy, that for the summer, now that's not the like quintessential free dining time, but it's happened before. For the summer, when you book a package with certain specific details, you know, rack rate room and a certain number of park hopper days or whatever, you can have a quick service meal for free per person. So maybe that's the beginning of kind of phasing it out. I'm not sure, but
I think
there are people
that they're trying to wean people off. So I shared that a couple of days ago on the Once Upon a Time Travel Facebook page. And also shared it in the Disney Nerds group and on the podcast page, I believe. So, yeah, basically, instead of getting free dining plan, you get a free meal at a quick service location per person per night when you buy a non-discounted four-night, five-day Walt Disney Travel Company room and ticket package at Disney Value Resort hotels. And those are for most nights, May 29th through June 30th and July 5th through August 13th. And you need to book by February 29th.
I think that, I mean, my opinions about free dining notwithstanding, I feel like they should have just ripped the Band-Aid off if they're going to get rid of free dining. Because last year when the dates were narrowed significantly, people lost their minds. You know that when people are getting one meal instead of a whole, you know, day's worth of meals, they're going to lose their minds. Like, it's going to happen no matter how slowly they do it. I feel like they should have just, if they're going to get rid of it, they should have got rid of it. But
well, this isn't the first time they've reduced it, though.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like they should just get rid of it as opposed to doing it this, like, stepwise.
Right, because at one time you could book a room at Pop Century, and as long as it was a package with tickets, you get free dining. Then they said, you know what, if you're at a value, you get free counter service dining.
Well,
if you're at a moderate, you get the regular dining. Then last year when they did it, you could get free dining, but you had to have a package with at least two park tickets, 2 days in the parks. And now, so now it's just one counter service meal. So here's the deal, though. In my opinion, that still could potentially be a better deal than getting 15% off a room. Because if I have me and my two kids at Pop Century, you're talking about a counter service meal for each of us per night. So if you think in 12 bucks.
So four counter service meals.
So, okay, so you think in 12 bucks a counter service meal? And a counter service meal is going to come. A meal is going to be a drink, an entree, and a dessert.
It's usually a drink,
an entree, and a dessert.
Yeah.
So 15
bucks. Yeah,
that's
what I'm getting to.
Let's just say it's
more than that.
Let's just say it's 15 bucks.
You go into Pinocchio Village House, you're paying $10 for one of the flatbreads. You're paying $4 for a drink, and a dessert's probably another four. So that's 18.
Okay. Let's just say on the low end, 15.
Okay.
That's 60 bucks for me, my wife, and my two kids. So a 15% discount on Pop Century on a room discount is not going to be 60 bucks.
Well, but there's so much more.
Even during the busy season, and Pop Century is 150 bucks a night or even 180 bucks a night, 20% off still. You know what I'm saying?
There's so many more layers to that, though. We used to do the dining plan when it made sense financially and before I got bitter about filling up restaurants. And but slip that in there. The part of the conversation was always, but it's worth it to spend that time in the table services because they're such a great experience. The experience of the table service was worth getting the dining plan. Or the fact that pretty much your entire day, you didn't have to worry about what you were spending. With one quick service meal, yes, it's a better discount, but all of a sudden you really have to start looking at, would I have spent $20 on a dessert and a drink for everybody? It's no longer as much about convenience or experience. It's literally just a discount. I think you absolutely have to run the numbers then and see what you would have purchased without it. And if you wouldn't have purchased all of those things, then I don't know that it's worth it.
Even if it's one quick service and you wouldn't purchase all those things, just a meal and a drink is going to be 10 bucks. So with four people, four adults in a room, which is me, my wife, and two kids, it's still 40 bucks. It's still more of a savings. You're not going to save $40 a night on a value room. Now, when you get into a moderate and you're talking about a 20%, most of the time on a value, you know, you always see the ads that Disney runs, save 30% on a room. Yeah, that's 30% on Grand Floridian. You save 15% on All-Stars.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
So 15%, even if the room was $200 a night and you're saving 15%, even if it was 20%, which you very rarely see, you'd usually have to go to a moderate to get 20% off. Even 20%, if it's $200 a night, which during that time, it's probably not. I think the value rooms max out at about 180. But even at 200, it's still 40 bucks. Even at 20%, which is the bare minimum you're going to spend on
something here.
It's the bare minimum you're going to spend for four people at a quick service. Spend is 40 bucks.
Because we get one drink or no drinks, one dessert or no desserts. And again, it's just the actual experience for me. Like the money maybe But again, if you're going to a moderate or deluxe, does it work out the same? I don't know. And it's really just.
And this isn't even offered on the moderate deluxe. This deal is strictly for value.
Yeah, for now. Yeah. But
they may. I would imagine if they're going to do it to moderate or deluxe, it'll be a better offer. Just like it has been.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year, if you went to a moderate, you get full dining plan for free versus the value you got a counter service. And remember, I'm prefacing all this by saying, look, I got me, my wife, and two teenagers that count as adults.
Right, right.
So does that absolutely changes if it's two people in the room.
All that said, so now we've spent like 15 minutes on dining. Do you remember when it first opened? The time that we used it with my family, I stayed at Pop Century for $59 a night, and I got an appetizer, a counter service meal, and a dessert and a drink for every single person in the room every single night. I mean, we had thousands of dollars of food with a $59 room
at a value
and gratuity. Oh my gosh. Now that was just amazing, but dumb on Disney's part. So yeah, obviously we've seen a ton of
changes. They figured that out real quick.
Oh yeah. That was a no-brainer.
Well, and you know, I mean, so you got to remember too, I mean, you're talking back when things weren't as good for Disney as they are now.
Exactly.
As far as the parks.
So
they built demand. I mean, their marketing has worked because we talked about this all the time. You go in October. It's not like October was years ago. People have caught on. Their marketing has worked. Now they have to wean people off of it.
And that's what I was going to say. That's why they have to do it, because it was to put heads in beds, and now there's too many people there. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. You're right.
So predictions.
But Jimmy, I think you're onto something. I think we're 2-for-2 on predictions, because something's coming. It's going to change.
Yep.
And so here's the something will change. Will it impact how many people go? No. I don't think it will.
You know what impacts
an uproar on the internet? Yes, that's a valid prediction.
They could, they could take away a dessert option, and it would cause an uproar on the internet.
No, yeah.
So what? They're taking away the carrot cake cookie? Wait,
right, exactly. I did read that writers stop.
Save the carrot cake.
I don't see that one. I don't see that one.
Writers
stop. I don't see it because they don't need to, based on what they're doing. Writer Stop is attached to the sci-fi. I saw the same thing, but Writer Stop's attached to the sci-fi.
Yeah, I know.
And not attached to Streets of America. So they can easily put a wall back the other way.
I get it.
But, whatever. All right.
Just tell me what I heard.
Jen, it's your turn, is it not?
Word on the street.
It is, and I am not going with a solid I'm going to actually take a little risk here. Sorry.
And all that said, you could be right and we could both be wrong.
I know, right? Well, I mean, I would love to say half the things I really wanted to say, like, okay, we need new monorails because now we're at 27 years with the same monorail and they never work. But that conversation we already had, so let's just pray that we actually get new monorails. And I'm not going to predict it because they should have happened last year or 5 years ago. But I think that, so this is the 25th anniversary of Disney Vacation Club. We got all these things in the mail, kind of with these new experiences that you can do during the year. We actually talked about this last year, that there'd be a new property announced. And I think that, you know, this has been a rumor on a couple other places, but they're getting permits and doing some little, groundwork for something at Wilderness Lodge on the water. And, but there are rumors that they're going to basically demolish River Country, which obviously has not been used in however long. So I don't know specifically that we'll get a new DVC property just yet, but I think that while they have the crews in there, and I think this was maybe Jim Hill that was talking about this, that River Country will possibly go away, which would make me so sad because it's on my Disney bucket list to get in there and walk around the abandoned River Country. But we'll see. It's not really a very big prediction, but I'm interested to see what happens over there.
Hmm.
Have you guys seen those videos and stuff, though? Have you ever poked your way in there? I know. It's
super
creepy. I have
not gotten in there. You have to swim to get over there, and I'm a little nervous about
it. Yeah, you can run a boat.
You can peek, though.
Yeah, you can run a boat and get close. You can get close enough to peek. I never have.
You can actually get some pretty good footage, apparently, from the campground. So that's what I'm going to try to do, but not get in, though. It is creepy, but I don't know. It's really kind of a cool almost like a little.
I mean, it looks
story.
Like they were there. I mean, it looks like it was there one day, and they just said, "All right, forget it. We're not coming back."
I know.
Well, yeah, they let the animals have it, and they left.
Well, and there's
they
videos,
went to animal.
There's videos where like the music was on for X number of months afterwards, and that's super creepy, but kind of cool.
You mentioned a couple of the DVC 25 experiences. One of those that I saw, I am also DVC. One of them is a lounge inside the Imagination Pavilion. Did you read that
yes.
one?
Yeah, I had actually read
that's cool.
That, or maybe it was maybe at the expo or something, they had talked about that in the upstairs area where I guess there's
where the rainbow thing used
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, yeah. So they're going to open that back up, which is exciting.
Rainbow Town. So Jimmy, basically in the top of the Imagination Pavilion, there's going to be a VIP lounge.
I've also seen a video of that area on YouTube.
I have too. I have not gone up there. I'd love to. I was up there when it was opened.
It is also relatively creepy.
I wasn't up there ever.
A little rainbow bridge and all that. It's all still there.
Yep.
You can search it, Jen, and watch. There's a YouTube video you can watch. A guy, I guess he probably knows a cast member or something that let him.
Oh,
yes,
yeah, so he got up there after it was all kind of closed up.
Oh yeah, this is just recently.
Oh, that's cool. So, Sam, you got another one?
Do I have another one? I do, but I'm not sure which way I want to go with it.
Sounds like
here's
solid.
Why. Something is going. We're going to get an announcement. Something's going into the old Tomorrowland arcade. I was all prepared and ready to say it was going to be Baymax, but we learned earlier that he's over at Epcot.
Well, that don't necessarily mean they couldn't put him there too.
Well, it doesn't. But I'm trying to think who. I think it's a perfect spot for a character meet and greet. Buzz Lightyear's outside, sort of in the sun in Tomorrowland. I'd really love to see some type of character meet and greet come to Tomorrowland in that location. For those of you that don't know, they basically just built a wall straight across where the arcade used to be, and it's retail where things are hung. But I know behind that wall, there's a lot of space. There have been rumors that Andy's room could be coming in there, and it's going to be Buzz and Woody or whoever. But anyway, look at it. I think something's coming into the Tomorrowland arcade. We're going to have an announcement. That's not one that's very far of a stretch either, because there are so many rumors out there.
Well, and we've talked about before, like I think it would be really cool to see Wally back there. And then at the expo, there was pretty much Wally in not flesh, but in person. Yeah. So it was from a like.
There's so many characters.
Person,
not
so
in...
cool.
Yeah. Wally would be cool there. I thought Baymax would be cool there. Tom Morrow. Or Miles from Tomorrowland, I'm sorry, has been getting a lot of airplay on the Disney Channel, and my little guy loves him. I don't know. I'm sure you've watched that, Jen, but I love the fact that he takes the TTA to school. I think it's just awesome.
You know, back to the Baymax thing. I've seen Baymax and Hero several times, but it would be so cool to have just all of those characters that really never made an appearance in the parks. Like some of the girls that were, you know, really, really cool characters. That we never got to see. So that would be so neat, but I don't expect that to happen.
Do we have any input from Ed, even though he's not here?
Yes, we should have had him in the first round, I guess. He talked about the Soarin' movie, which we kind of discussed a little bit, that there's going to be a new Soarin' movie. Ed thinks, and this would be so cool, we've seen this at Disneyland, and it's gotten a huge positive response. He thinks that there will be a Star Wars overlay, probably similar to Hyperspace Mountain, on Space Mountain in Florida, which would be very cool. What do you guys think? You think it'll happen? Or
I would love to see it happen.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it happen. So here's what I don't know, and what would sway me one way or the other. Was the attraction down for an extended time for them to do it?
I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't remember either, because the reason we always get as to why we don't get the haunted mansion overlay in Florida is because it's got to be down for 3 weeks, which means you're down for 3 weeks to convert it over to Nightmare Before Christmas and 3 weeks to convert it back. So that's 6 weeks out of the year that one of your primary attractions that people travel from all over the world to see is down. If that's the case for Space Mountain, which I wouldn't think, if it's a day or two, I'd love to see it happen.
Well, it had to happen kind of quickly. Do you remember when it kind of debuted?
Especially if you put a Star Wars meet and greet.
Because it wasn't announced until August, and then people were riding it in the fall, like pretty quickly. So I feel like it couldn't have taken weeks, but I don't know. My original thought was that we wouldn't get one since that's not where Star Wars is on this coast. I mean,
unless you put R2-D2 and C-3PO in the old arcade.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Then you've got a hyperspace mountain with a Star Wars meet and greet at the end.
I was thinking that it wouldn't happen because...
Ed, I'm with you.
Because the Star Wars is happening at a different park. But it's not happening at a different park this year. So it could be kind of a temporary, one-time-only 2016 move, which would be super cool. I like it.
Which would be cool. Although I've not seen R2-D2 or C-3PO in studios in any of the new things
that
have
been
done.
Well, you throw BB-8 in there, too,
BB-8, but even when you looked at concept art at D23, there was a huge R2-D2 in Launch Bay, and there is not an R2-D2 in Launch Bay, and he's not appeared there. So put him over in Tomorrowland. I'm good with that.
That'd be cool.
They could do an R2-D2 kind of with the push technology.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Be really cool.
That'd be cool.
That'd be super neat. Ed has a couple more, but Jimmy, did you have one? I have one more. Okay.
I'm going to say before the end of 2016.
Okay.
I predict. This is almost like a stone cold lock.
All right.
That we will have a name change for Hollywood Studios.
Well, I would like to say absolutely, but we saw how that worked out last year.
You laughed at me, Jennifer. Jennifer, what do you mean? Ah.
Because last year,
same question.
Yeah, and all five of us were like, oh, totally. I mean, literally the words 100% it will happen this year came out of pretty much everyone's mouth, and it didn't happen.
So. No. Last year, I said it wouldn't change in 2015.
You actually said it might not change at all. You're right. Yeah.
And I think, again, I don't think they're going to be ready. I think by the end of 2016, you have huge construction cranes in the back of the area. Things are all dug up, and there's big walls, and basically never mind what's happening back there.
Well,
I don't think it happens in 2016.
That is a good point, too, from like a branding standpoint. I do think that the odds are in your favor, Jimmy, that we kind of heard about it. And by the end of 2016, it'll be 2 years after we heard that it was happening. So it would be a little strange if it didn't happen. But, Sam, you're onto something, if this is kind of what you meant. If you have a big name change, because it's not going to be quiet. Like, it's not going to be... Not a big deal.
No, it's going to be huge.
You're going to have a big name change, and you're going to say, come to this great new park with nothing open right now. So I don't know. I do feel like it could be more in conjunction with the actual arrival of all these new things.
Can I make one more prediction?
Sure.
I think this may be my last one, but my last prediction is if the name change does not happen this year, Jimmy will predict it to happen again.
That's a good one.
Because eventually I'm going to be right.
Yes, you are.
It's your monorail. Like, I'm going to say something about the monorails every year until they change.
Right. God,
and you're
going to
say something about them.
I hope you're right.
The name changes too. That's funny. Yeah. I guess it's my turn, yeah?
It is.
So mine were all like rehashes from last year, and I'm not going to go that route. But I will I'm going to pull one from Ed, and so this is really his idea.
You're stealing Ed?
I am.
He's not here?
No. I'm going to say for him. I'm standing in for Ed at the moment. So,
okay.
This is not park specific. No. I don't. No. I don't play that game. This is not park specific, but I think he is right that Inside Out will win an Oscar. I'm not sure that's even a question, at least for animated movie. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. But that's kind of an exciting one. I think that we'll see. So here we go. I'll do Ed plus I'll tack something on. I think we'll see more Inside Out in the park this year. It was too big and too many wonderful things they could do. I know they said for the whatever screening it was, Disney Parks blog, and those Joy and Sadness came out and it was only for that and they'd never be in the parks. I don't believe it. I think we're going to see characters and just some theming. So it'll win an Oscar per Ed and we'll see them in the park. Seems like a pretty solid.
It's a good
bet.
Movie. I hope you're right.
Because we hadn't seen them as of yet.
Right, yeah. I mean, but don't tell me that they have these costumes and had a casting call and they're not going to bring them back out. Like, it was not a one-day thing.
I'm with you. I hope so.
I hope so, too. I'd love that.
I hope so, too. I saw they were on in a pre-parade in Disneyland. but they were more like puppets than characters, if you know what I mean. They were on a float, sort of. But I thought at least they're there.
Yeah. It's a start. All right. I don't have anything else. I'm out. Like I said, all the things we had to speculate on last year, we just got so many details in August at the expo that this might be the way it goes. In off years, we have a lot to talk about. And then in expo years, we're kind of like, oh, we already know what's happening. So does anyone have anything else? Ed did mention a full like Star Wars themed restaurant, which I think is a given at some point. Do you guys think it'll happen in 2016?
In Star Wars land?
Yeah, I think obviously we'll have one there. But do you think we'll have one anywhere else? Or any sooner, I should say.
You know, nobody saw Jock Lindsey's coming in Disney Springs.
Oh, man, that happened quick, too.
That's true, yeah. I don't
know. That came out of nowhere. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. An Indiana Jones-themed restaurant? Cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't see it happening just because there's so much other Star Wars work going, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised. So now that I interrupted you all, do you have anything else?
I'm going to say that Food and Wine gets extended a little bit this year.
I think so too, yeah.
It does every year.
No, last year it didn't. Last year it actually reverted back.
Really?
Oh, so it must have been the way the weekends fell then.
The year before last, the first year we all went, it started like almost in the middle of September. And then last year we were there for the opening weekend, which was like the 25th.
It's a leap year. We don't have an extra day or 24-hour day for 2016 yet.
Oh.
I don't think we do.
That would be great. Although I'm actually...
That's too late now, but that's when this whole thing started, at least in recent history. They did it before, but it was that extra day, remember?
Yeah,
is this the year you can see the hidden Mickey over by Little Mermaid?
I don't know.
Is it only in leap years or something like that?
And is it going to be intact if they do all this construction?
Oh, it's not. It's not. It's just once every year at a certain time.
I think it's on his birthday. Yeah.
On his birthday. Yeah, that's when it is. Once a year on his birthday.
So I actually am sneaking down. My kids don't know yet, but we're going in February just for a couple of days.
Nice.
Yeah, it should be good. But I don't know. I'm anxious to see. I would love for there to be a 24-hour event, but we're going like the week before, so I would be inclined to want to extend it another week, but we'll see.
So I have one more prediction I want to throw out there, and I hope that I'm right. I want an announcement out of nowhere that the Imagination Pavilion has a sponsor.
Yes.
That's what I want.
And Wonders
and
of Life.
Something is going to happen to it.
Wonders of Life is too far gone, right?
Okay, either one.
No, Wonders of Life is too far gone.
One of those. We need a sponsor. It could be so much more with a sponsor.
Well, there was that. There is an announcement that Glidden is coming in and doing something in there with color.
Okay, I didn't know that.
But it's not, I was thinking it was like the whole upstairs, but it's actually not because that's going to be something different. But it sounds like it's actually going to be something relatively small. But maybe it's dipping their toes in the water and, oh, you know what? That's an Innoventions. Never mind. Glidden.
Well, that's all right.
Oh, there is a Glidden thing in an event.
Glidden Color Topia.
Is that in the Interventions that closed?
No, the other one.
Other one is still open.
There needs to be something in there, too. So we'll see what they're going to do with that. Lots to see in 2016.
Lots of construction happening in 2016. Lots of confirmations. Disney Springs, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, lots and lots of big announcements and big things coming in 2016.
Hey, you know what else is that I will say I'm pretty sure is going to happen? 2016?
What's that?
The Disney Nerds podcast will without a doubt, certainly have its annual Disney Madness bracketology.
There you go.
Jimmy, you are so right. And in fact, we are almost ready to launch DisneyMadness.com. This year, for the Disney Nerds Podcast 2016, we will be doing Character Madness, which will be an absolutely unbelievable look at all of Disney properties to come up with our favorite Disney character. Characters from classic Mickey,
theme parks, Muppets, villains, Star Wars, Pixar, princesses, Marvel, they're all going to be here. Stay tuned for lots of details on Character Madness as you help us pick who's going to be in the 128 field tournament.
I'm already nervous because you want to talk about apples to oranges. Like, we got every fruit against one another here. It's going to be so hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How do you compare Darth Vader and Stitch?
You don't. And so here's what'll be cool, right? You really have 8 different mini tournaments happening where you have 16 Muppets, 16 villains, 16 Star Wars, and you get one of the best out of that. So that's pretty cool in itself. And then let them go at each other.
Well, yeah, and in the past, it's always kind of been not totally lopsided, but there are some matchups that we can say, oh, I'm pretty sure it's going to go this way. But when you get people, I mean, you have huge Muppet fans and you have people who couldn't care less about the Muppets, and you have princess fans and people who really like the villains. And I mean, you got people who are really big fans of each of those properties. So that'd be cool.
Yep. You know what my favorite thing about it is?
What?
I'm one step ahead of you guys on predictions.
Oh, yeah?
Because my first prediction already came true.
Oh, that's true. Yes. Yeah. So. You know, my least favorite thing about the year coming up. They just announced that episode 8 is not coming out until December, and I want to cry.
I did.
Like, 18
that.
Months was too long, and now we're waiting a full year or 2 years. So, December, that's next year, December of 2017 instead of May. So, I don't know. I'm sad, but that'll be prediction for next year.
You got Rogue One to hold you over.
You do. I know, but yeah.
Which will have James Earl Jones as the voice. Nice.
Yeah. I didn't realize that he does the voice for Rebels.
Oh, cool.
I didn't know that. Either.
Yeah, he's billed in the IMDb to do the voice. Hey, do you know where, and I just happened to see this, and maybe I'm just an idiot, do you know where Rogue One comes from?
The crawl line of episode 4. The name Rogue One, or?
Yeah, just kind of where it's referenced.
Yeah, in the opening crawl of Star Wars A New Hope. When it says a band of rebel agents stole the plans to a Death Star, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
it's them, isn't that it?
No, well, where I noticed it was in Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
When they're flying the little things with the cables around the AT-ATs, that's their call sign is Rogue 2, Rogue 3.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that until I watched Empire Strikes Back again. I'm like,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
That was, you know, when they're attacking the Death Star, it was red one. They all had colors.
Right.
Yes.
But in Empire Strikes Back, when they're flying around the AT-ATs and using the tow cables to drop them, what they were. They were Rogue One, Rogue Two, Rogue Leader.
Cool. And some Star Wars guys.
Yeah, you're an idiot. Where did you think that came from?
I know.
Yeah, no,
All right.
I feel better that Sam didn't know it because I feel like Sam's a pretty big.
Well,
Star
I just
Wars
knew
fan.
The movie was from that crawl at the beginning.
Yeah,
that's that's pretty cool. I didn't know the reference was there.
Yep. Very cool.
All right, guys, thanks for listening, and remember, we want to hear from you. So shoot us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Make sure you like our Facebook page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Keep up with us in the group, and you can ask questions there. It's Disney Nerds, all capital. Email us individually at jimmy@thedisneynerds.com, jen@thedisneynerds.com, sam@thedisneynerds.com, ed@thedisneynerds.com, @thedisneynerds on Twitter, and @thedisneynerds podcast on Instagram. If you got a prediction for something coming up in 2016, please email it to us. We'll definitely cover it on a future episode, and just make sure you leave your name and where you're sending us the message from. So for Jennifer, Ed, and Sam, this is Jimmy signing off.
See ya.
Kongaloosh.
Guaharini.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So